presentation comes to us from the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, Annie Fine. She'll be presenting area-level differences in, reading a different title, disparities in Zika virus testing and incidence among women of reproductive age, New York City, 2016.
Thank you so much, and it's a pleasure to be here this morning. So New York City,
That was my problem. Even you can't talk that fast.
No, I was just going to say how fast I was going to talk, but that was... is my time increasing?
Yes,
New York City is especially high risk for imported Zika cases. Of its 8.5 million residents, with almost 2 million were born in countries or territories with Zika virus circulation. Also, travel volume from these countries is extremely high, with 6.5 million arrivals into New York City in 2015. And in the past, we've seen a high incidence of imported dengue and chikungunya, mostly in people who went to visit friends and family. Not surprisingly, therefore, New York City accounted for over a fifth of all the, I should say, continental U.S. cases of Zika virus infection and women enrolled in the U.S. pregnancy registry. In January of 2016, screening and testing was recommended for all pregnant women, initially for those with symptoms of Zika, but quickly in February, this was expanded to include asymptomatic pregnant women. New York City realized that it was critical to identify and test pregnant women for several reasons. One, we felt early diagnosis was important. If the woman was infected, she was more likely to be NAT positive, PCR positive, and therefore to have a definitive diagnosis. Her pregnancy could also be monitored as recommended, and women could have information to help them make decisions about their pregnancy. And also, infants who were at risk for congenital infection could be identified, evaluated, and treated within the timeframes that were recommended after birth. So in New York City, at the beginning, all the testing had to be done in the public health lab. And patients had to meet criteria in order to be approved, and we needed information to be collected at the time of the test order, which is very unusual for testing. So we needed information about the country and territory of travel, the travel dates, pregnancy, the last possible date of exposure, and symptoms and onset date, and all of this was needed not only to know if they met criteria, but also to perform the correct tests. So over 4,700 pregnant women were tested during this time frame, and all the results, positive and negative, were imported into our surveillance database system, and we also had addresses for everybody who was tested, and those were all geocoded. The test ordering was burdensome for providers, and it took time, and based on our previous experience in travel-related imported dengue and chikungunya in New York City, we expected to see high numbers of cases and high numbers of test requests in the communities, coming from communities who had connections to the countries and territories where Zika was circulating, and in communities where there were large numbers of immigrants or people with ancestry in those countries or territories. Early on, in around February, we began to see a surge in testing related to the recommendation for asymptomatic pregnant woman testing. And we noticed that a lot of our test requests were coming from large OB practices serving women who lived in relatively high SES neighborhoods and who are not in neighborhoods with large numbers of immigrants or ancestry in those countries. So we also began hearing anecdotal reports coming from hospitals where there were large numbers of pregnant women who had traveled during pregnancy that they were not being tested and they were not being screened. This was especially occurring in some of the public hospitals. So we actually took our data and we were able to map it, and we looked at the rates of, on the left you see in green, and this is by census tract, ranking of census tracts and putting them into quartiles of the number of immigrants from Zika-affected countries and territories. So this is where we would have expected to see testing, but I'm not sure how to make the pointer work, but on the in the blue on the right, you can see the actual Zika virus testing rate among reproductive age women. So you can see that the testing was happening almost in the opposite areas of the city than where we expected to see it coming from. So in response to this observed disparity in March, we began a campaign of public education, provider outreach in the community, which included sending outreach teams to the target communities and visiting actually more than 190 obstetric offices. And we also identified and targeted hospitals, especially public hospitals, with high numbers of deliveries to women born in Zika-affected countries, but which had low rates of test requests among pregnant women. And we worked to reduce the burden of testing in those hospitals. So that included implementing electronic ordering, placing staff on site in those hospitals to actually assist with the test request process, and also a directive from the administration of the public hospital system to screen and test all pregnant women. What we saw was that by September, the pattern had reversed, as seen on this map. So areas with high rates of immigrants from Zika-affected countries had some of the highest testing rates for reproductive age women. And here you can see the testing rates in January through February, and then March through May, and then later in June and July, with the rates highest in the census during January and February. The rates were highest in the census tracts with the lowest number of immigrants from those countries, and by June and July that pattern had completely reversed, so that the testing was now highest in the areas where we expected it to be. This also shows the time course of the disparity and its resolution, showing early on a very high rate in the census tracts in the lowest three quartiles of immigrants, but a steady increase through April and May in those in the areas where with larger numbers of immigrants, and then a very sharp increase. This was after the intervention in the public hospital system, that was right at the beginning of June, and that where the rate of testing in those communities went way up. And you can see this is a graph showing the rate in the public hospital system, what that intervention actually accomplished in terms of rates of testing. And then lastly, turning to incidence, we did look at incidence overall during that time frame, and we found that incidence of Zika virus infection was highest in the census tracts with the largest number of immigrants, and lowest in the lowest number, a very clear relationship. And we also looked at it by poverty, and we found that in every category it was also higher in the census tracts with higher poverty, greater than 20% of the population living below the poverty level. This shows the map of incidence, which looks now familiar to you. You can see the highest rates of disease being found, infection and disease in reproductive age women being found in the neighborhoods where we have the highest number of people born in the countries where Zika virus was circulating. So in conclusion, communities with the largest immigrant populations from Zika-affected countries and higher poverty levels were at highest risk for imported Zika. An analysis and mapping of geocoded Zika virus testing data revealed those disparities during the first few months of the Zika virus response in New York City, and we used those data in real time to target interventions, and the disparities in the testing resolved following those interventions. So health departments can analyze surveillance data in real time to identify these disparities and work to remedy them, even during emergency responses. Our recommendations include that we should continue efforts to ensure adequate testing of all vulnerable populations, and that challenge is now different because of the availability of commercial testing. And we should explore methods to continue to receive denominator data for Zika virus and other diseases, as the rates of testing do influence what we're going to see in the numerator. And for Zika virus in particular, ordering of tests and the correct ordering of tests is really critical for diagnosing disease. And lastly, I'll add that that we should also try to, I believe we should try to get better data on travel, as a lot of this was based on using these proxies for travel. If there's any way that we could get actual travel data based on the place of residence, it would help us in identifying the populations at risk. Thank you.